Okay.
So we're gonna do we're doing Tynus. So I figured it's kind of an MDL that's approaching Shavasa Batamas Tisha B'Av. So I figured we'd go through the Gemaras that we'll see how much we cover. Not tons this week, but then hopefully in the weeks that follow, I hope to keep up on going further. So so basically, all the sugyas about the, as far as I know, the main sugyas about the 3 weeks, 9 days, Tisha B'Av, Erev Tisha B'Av, are in the end of Tynus. Okay, and it's based on a Mishnah. Do this. It's based on a Mishnah on Chaf Vav and Aleph and Tynus. Watch the court. Okay. So the Mishnah. So we'll read the Mishnah, and then we'll take the Gemara. So the Gemara is really more Chaf Tas or Chaf Tas Lamed. Okay. So Chamisha Dvarim. So the bottom of Chaf Vav and Aleph. Chamisha Dvarim Irasav Asinu Meshivas Avatamas. The Chamisha B'Tishkav. So five things, five tragic events happened to our forefathers. Chaf Vav and Aleph and Tynus at the bottom. Our forefathers on Shivas Batamos and five on Tishba. Okay? The Shivas Batamos, Nishtabru Haluchos. Okay? So the Luchos were broken. Moshevena. Ubutal HaTamid. The Tamid was Nispatel. Okay? It was knocked out. And that's, I saw there's a discussion where there's in the first base of Mikdash or the second one. Ram says the first. I saw this a. Others say it's the second, but whatever. The Karban Tamid was knocked out. Rashi says, "Vatal Tamid Fisha Gazra Hamalchus Gezera Mil Hakervod." So the Hamalchus made Gezera that we can't bring it anymore. Okay, so that's bad. The Hovka Ha'ir, and the city was sieged. Okay, that I think was in the second Mikdash. Happened to Shavasa Batamas. The Saruf Pustamas Asatora. Okay, and Apustamas. Russia burned the Torah. Okay? He was one of the Greek officers. And I saw, I don't know how they know this. They bring down, I think, Torah show a question, what Torah? It's Ha Torah. So, I mean, I always thought it just meant a Torah. He broke it, you know, burned a Torah. So they bring down, almost kind of, it's like there's a Torah in the Azara which served to copy all other Torahs from. And it says he burned that Torah. So it's Ha Torah. That's one pshat. The other pshat, they say, it means just all the Torahs you can find. Okay, but whatever. I mean, I would have thought just burning one Torah is, you know. But look, I guess a lot of Torahs have been burned throughout history. Someone hit mute, please. Okay, Behemet Shalom Beichel. Okay, Behemet Shalom Beichel. So Menashe was a bad king of the Jews, Yehuda, and he's put a tzelem in the Heichel. Okay, so that's very bad. Okay, so those are the five things which happened in on Shavuos Batamos. Okay, fine. Metisha B'Av, the Gzeirah L'Avoseinu Shalei Kansu La'aretz, Yichnasu La'aretz, the Gzeirah that Klal Yisrael wouldn't enter Eretz Yisrael after the Chet of the Meraglim, right? That's the Koveya, right? They cried the B'chiyah Shalchinam and we'll cry B'chiyah L'Doros. So that was the end of basically that door entering Eretz Yisrael. The Charev Habayis Barishon Uvashniya, and the first and second base of Mikdash was destroyed. V'nilka the Beitar. And Beitar, which is a very big city with a lot of Jews in it, there are like a million Jews or something like that who were killed. That the Rambam elaborates a little bit. At the time, they thought Bar Kokhba was Mashiach, and Rabbi Kiva was there. It was like an uprising after the Korban, and it was basically put down, and it was very bloody destruction. And Eretz the Yerushalayim was plowed over, right? Sion Sadeh Techarish. Basically, the Goyim wanted to totally wipe out any trace whatsoever of the Mikdash, as if it never existed. So they plowed it over like a fallow field. There weren't even ruins. So that was like the end of the Korban. Okay? Alright. Fine. So, before we go further. So, I don't know, it's just interesting. Is there, my question is, I wrote this to you guys, is there any, is it just, look, there are five things here, five things there? Is there some sort of, first of all, it's interesting that there are five things on these days. Is that coincidental? Just happens to be, or not? And if it isn't coincidental, is there a pattern? Is there some similarity between the five on Shavuos Batamos and the five on Tisha B'Av? Is there just whatever? There's 10 bad things, and they just happen to be these five are here, these five are there, right? So, what do you say? The first question is: this just a coincidence? What do you say? I guess you're saying presumably the Mishnah is maintaining that this is Me'asham, that they're on the same day. It does not just happen to be that coincidentally, I would think, just if it happens to be, I mean, I guess you could say that. You could say that it just happens to be. And now, since that we go down our days in history, these days happen to be the worst days of all. So we mourn on them, the worst of all. Or you could say that, no, God specifically is doing them on these days. It's not just a coincidence that they just happen to turn out these are the worst days on our calendar by chance, but that it's by plan, by design.
It's certainly a lot more focused reflection on the days if you have a distinct theme.
Okay, good.
Especially if they're close together in time.
Okay, good. Yeah, good. Yeah, so I mean, I guess the Rambam seems to explicitly say it. I mean, I think it seems to me clear, but I don't know. Maybe I haven't really thought strongly about the other side. That just happens to be. Seems to be it's by design. But I mean, the Rambam says, when he talks about the things which happen on Tisha B'Av, I'm not going to read the whole halacha, but basically after he lists four of the things, he says, Ubo bayom hamuchan leparanas, and on this day, which is prepared for punishment, for paranas, charasha turnafrasas harasha, whatever, the fifth one. So he calls it a day which is muchan for paranas, right, which is prepared for paranas. And in Chazal, I guess it's muchan because it goes back to the Meraglim, right? That's what I think Chazal say. Atem b'chisem b'chiyah shalchinam. You cried a b'chiyah for nothing. I'm going to be koveyed as a b'chiyah doros. This is going to be a day where you can always have crying. And that's like our worst tragedies are happening there. So the point, arguably, as Ariel is saying, is that Onesh, the objective of Onesh, is for Hashem like Asher Yasser Ish Espino, Hashem like Elchem Yasraka. Hashem punishes us like a father punishes his son, which is for the sake of bettering the son. Hashem's not punishing us just to get mad at us, or not just to inflict us, but it's as a tool of evoking, bringing us towards tshuva, right? And if a person thinks that what happens to him is keri, is coincidence, and just writes it off as being a chance thing, then he's not going to do tshuva, right? And that's what happened in the Tochacha, right? A few weeks ago. If they say that it's keri, then Hashem will say it's just chance, then Hashem will really go after them even harsher, and if still they say it's chance, he'll go even harsher. But the idea is it's not so simple. People often write off, you know, bad events as just being chance factors, tough break. But the idea is that an onesh, Hashem has managed us in a way that will arouse us towards doing tshuva and towards acknowledging the fact that it's Me Hashem and thereby doing something about it. So when you have clusters of very bad events happening on one day, it makes it less likely to just write it off as just pure chance. When our worst events happen in our history or on Tisha B'Av, that's striking. It lends itself much more to, it points out to us, this is a day which is Muchan L'Pranas, and it allows us to think about the Hashkachas Hashem in general. One, it's harder to say, again, one isolated thing, two isolated things, you could just kind of, easier to write off. So arguably, by making days which focus specifically on Onshim from Hashem, it helps us use them for tshuva. Right? Okay, so then what it's saying is, as I was saying, so boy, there are two different days. So again, how did you say it?
Oh, so I was saying that, Aral put it very succinctly, but I think Tisha B'Av is really the final kind of blow of the events, where, like, there's no hope left.
Right.
Whereas, I guess, Shiraz B'Talmuz is more like the build-up to the final blow.
Right. Yes, good. It seems that way. It seems that the events of Shiraz B'Talmuz are, in a sense, less bad than those of Tisha B'Av. And in a sense, they're more the beginning of the end. Steps. The first five, the Shivas Tamas ones, are more like the beginning of the end, or a step in the process, and the Tisha B'Av ones are, there's a certain finality in the tragedies which happen on Tisha B'Av. Right? Yes. So we'll go through them in particular, but yeah, again. Not necessarily that each one, they don't necessarily one-to-one. I'm not necessarily saying they're one-to-one correspondence, like in every one is the same year. I'm saying the events itself, it seems that there is in Hashkachas Hashem, in Onesh Hashem, so one second, there is in Hashem being Manish Klal Yisrael, it seems there are various stages in Onesh. There's Onshim which are, showing us that Hashem isn't with us, and like a wake-up call to doing Tshuva. And then there are things which are, that's it. It's all, we lost it. We lost everything. It's not, we can't do tshuva anymore. I mean, of course, you can always do tshuva for the future, but there are certain punishments, like the Chorban and the basement is destroyed. Basement is destroyed. There's no Beis Hamikdash. I mean, we can do tshuva and hopefully we'll get it back in Meher B'Yameinu, but it's done. There were the Jews and the Meraglim. The Meraglim sin. That's it. This is the Gzar Din. 40 years, you're in the desert. And the Ma'apilim, they says, no, 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 we want it back. There's another chance. Right, that's what happened then, right? Pay attention this week's Parsha. There's the Ma'apilim, Ma'apilu, but that's what happened. They said, sorry, we want to go. Now we want to go. And they got killed. They went out and it wasn't with them. So there, it was the finality. There comes a point where the sin is too bad and Hashem punishes us in a way which it's over until we regroup and do a whole new, you know, obviously the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us isn't severed totally, but sometimes it's set back in a major way that there's, at least for this era, there's an end. And that's why it's more tragic. Or what else was there? Beitar. Beitar was also, there was this rebellion. There was, I think it was after the Korban, the second Korban, and there was a renewal, and they were trying to reestablish, you know, society, and they thought they were going to come back with Mashiach.
Resounding defeat.
Resounding defeat. A million people died and totally wiped them out, and it was like a bloody blood in the streets everywhere, and that was it. That was the end of that era, that rebellion, that whole thing. And what was the last one? Was the Tzion said the Choresh, it plied over the Chorban. So I don't know the exact history of that happened, but the point is what the Gaon were trying to accomplish is to eradicate any memory whatsoever of the Mikdash. So it's one thing we don't have a Mikdash, but we still have the ruins of the Mikdash. Still, right? At least the Jews are looking at it, hoping. And his idea was basically, it's out. Forget about it. It's over. And there, that's also a finality. But the other ones, if you look at the Shavas of Batamas ones, for example, Moshe breaking Luchos. Okay, he broke Luchos. But then they went up and again, and he got the second Luchos. So it was a wake-up call. Klal Yisrael, you're messing up. This is Chet HaEgel. Do tshuva, you better do something about it. Otherwise, you're going to get stuck in the desert for 40 years. You know, but whatever. But they were going into Eretz Yisrael, despite the Egel. Despite the breaking the Luchos, they were second Luchos. So Klal Yisrael had to do tshuva, and Moshe Rabbeinu had to daven, and they wipe out the evildoers. At the same time, it wasn't an end. It was a call to tshuva before things end. Right? And again, I don't know the history very well, but one second, Batal HaTamid was, again, it wasn't Chor Mesa Mikdash. They stopped us from bringing the Karban Tamid. But arguably, if we did tshuva, then we could have started bringing the Karban Tamid again. There's no, the walls, the basement is just burned down, it's destroyed. But the Talmud is, okay, it stopped, it's bad. The fact that it's batal is an indication the Hashgacha is no longer with us. These things shouldn't happen. If the Hashgacha was with us, things like this shouldn't occur. But the fact is that batal Talmud, Hashem's allowing that. Or Tzalem and the Eichal, as things like this are happening, it should show that we're seeping. Klal Yisrael's level is going down, and Hashem is no longer protecting us. If Klal Yisrael, the city is sieged, that shouldn't happen. If Klal Yisrael is doing the mitzvahs, things like that shouldn't happen. And if they do, it must be something's going wrong. We can't be all confident that we're doing everything right if things like this are happening, and it should wake us up. But Tisha B'Av events, it's not. And what was the last one? We missed one. So he's burning the Torah again. That's something which Hashgacha would protect. Shouldn't happen. But if we're not at a level, then things like this does happen. And therefore, it's a wake-up call. And I feel like in our calendar, it is nice that the way it turns out, that we have Shavuot Tamuz, and then 3 weeks later, arguably by design, then 3 weeks later you have Tisha B'Av. And there is an idea of, there are two types of Onshim, and you know, and there's a day of commemorating one, which the order is, I'm saying there's an order, which is sensible, is that the first, it teaches us about the derech of, in general, of Hashgachas Hashem, of Hashem being manish us, is that he in general gives us a small patch first to wake us up, but then if it doesn't happen, then he punishes us in a total, absolute way. And that's important for us to remember, and to be ma'or us to do tshuva, right? So it's like a lesson about Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a lesson about how we should be aroused to doing tshuva. To do that in general, that's how Hashem does it. He doesn't just go after a person straight away. He gives us a chance for tshuva. His rachamim. He gives us a chance and another chance and a chance. There's a God as a merachim. Even though Midas HaDin, arguably Midas HaDin would have been a Shavasar B'Tamos, then it would have been destruction. But Hashem's rachamim is to give man a chance. Hashem doesn't want us to get punished. He wants us to do tshuva. So he gives us opportunities. Many of them. But at the same time, there comes a point where it's simply intolerable. We're not doing tshuva. It's not helping us. We're corrupt. And then Hashem brings down the hammer. And then there's absolute destruction. It has to be, so to speak, a new beginning. I think that's the point. Is after the Tisha B'Av events, you need a new beginning. After the Shavuos of Thomas events, you don't need a new beginning. You just have to straighten out your path. Right. Shoot further in the Mishnah, okay? Okay. So, mi shenichnas av mimatim b'simcha. So, when av comes in, we lessen our simcha. Okay? Not clear what exactly that means. What's the nafkmina of that? Did the Rambam say? He also said that, right? She brought it down. Av. Yeah, it doesn't say what it means, though. Shenichnas av mimatim b'simcha. Okay, so it's not clear what that means exactly. So let's leave that alone. Okay, then b'Shabbos Rashi didn't say. No, Shabbos Shachal Tisha B'Av Yos B'Socha, the week of Tisha B'Av. Okay, the week of Tisha B'Av. Asur Milasaper and Lachabes. You can't get a haircut and you can't wash your clothing. Okay, v'Chamishi Mitorni Kavod Shabbos. But on Thursday is Mutter because of Kavod Shabbos. Okay. Arguably, it's talking about if, like, let's say Tisha B'Av is on Friday. So, Chamishi, you're going to want to wear good clothing on Shabbos. So, let's say you want to wash on Thursday for Shabbos. You're not going to be able to do it on Friday. It's Tisha B'Av. Okay, we'll get to that, okay? So, that's for the Gemara. Hopefully, we'll get to later tomorrow or later in the week. Okay, good. So let's look at the Gemara now. Okay, so the rest of the Gemara is about Erev Tisha B'Av, which is much later on. So let's just jump to the Gemara. So the Gemara is on Chav Tes Amud Aleph at the bottom. Okay, so the Gemara, in truth, it does, all before this point, the Gemara goes through, I didn't do it, but on Chav Tes Amud Beis until Chav Tes Amud Aleph, it goes through all the things which happened. And it says Pesukim and various Mesoros to verify that, in fact, these five things actually did happen on these dates. So, it might be interesting to go through them, and you probably get more insight into the events themselves, and see the Pesukim and the Navi, which is quoting, and, you know, just as a limud about the particulars of the event. We're taking a quick treatment of them, but the Gemara kind of gives you more background and sources it out that it's really on these dates. Okay, so you could do that, but I didn't. Okay, so the bottom it says Mishnah Zavat Mesimcha Amar Rav Yehuda Bered the Rav Shmuel Bar Shelas Mishmei the Rav. Just like when Av enters, you lessen your simcha. So to an Adar comes in, you increase your simcha. Okay? Because, I guess, Av is a bad time, bad month. Right? It's a month of Tisha B'Av, I guess.
Right.
And likewise, Mishnechas Adar, Rashi says, Yemei Nisim Hayuli Yisrael Purim U'Pesach. Okay. So it's days of miracles for Kal Yisrael.
That's not exclusively, it's Adar plus
Purim U'Pesach. Yeah. So what's the problem?
That's just clarifying. It's Adar and Nisim I'm referring to.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say Igmar Misimchan Nisim. Theoretically, according to Rashi, it should be Mar Misimchan in Nisim also.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's clear.
That's not what I'm How does he
learn Gemara? Mishnah Nichnas Av, Mar Simcha. Once you enter Av, you have Simcha.
Mimatim Simcha, and Mishnah Nichnas Adar, then you Mar Simcha.
Yeah.
That's
what
you were saying. Right. So why is Rashi doing that? I guess that's the question. It's basically, the Gemara just says, Mishnah Nichnas Adar, Mar Simcha. So, I mean, plain pshat means when Adar begins, so you have Simcha. Right, you increase your Simcha. Until when? I don't know, it's not a good question. Is when enough? Is it Simcha until? Right? It's a good question. I mean, there's a question, and we'll get to this, hopefully, but there's a question whether the dinim apply after Tisha B'Av or only until Tisha B'Av.
Mm.
Right? But I mean, plain shot, it's until Tisha B'Av. Mishinichnas, when it enters, until Tisha B'Av. And arguably, you'd say the same thing by Adar. Mishinichnas Adar. Adar, you think, is a special month. And you'd say you have a simcha because it's a month of Adar, right? But Rashi adds in Pesach, right? Which I guess, you're right, as Ariel's saying, I guess that means it's going to extend from not only from the beginning of Adar until Purim, but I guess it will extend straight through until Pesach, presumably.
Did some of the niece? Sorry.
Yeah. That's what I'm asking you. So what's Rashi based upon? Is it just obvious because Purim, Pesach, whatever? It was like the Mishnah doesn't say that. Is there, why is Rashi not learning? I mean, the Gemara seems to be drawing an analogy between Av and Adar, but yet Rashi, in a sense, is breaking the analogy because he's making it really Adar is the Adar Nisan combo, right? So is that why? Well, based on what is he doing that? How would you justify what's, you know? Yeah, what Moses is saying is the Gemara in Megillah, it's like Zion or so. We did that this past year. This is talking about whether you read the Megillah in Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni. So one of the arguments is because Mes Mechgula Legula, that if you do an Adar Sheni, then there's a back to back, which every year you have back to back months, Gula Legula, the Gula of Mitzrayim and the Gula of from Achashverosh, Haman, right? And to keep the continuity and the tziruf of those two, you see that's the argument of why we do it in Adar Sheni and not Adar Rishon. Yeah, okay, good. Good point. And that's actually based on, you know, as we're saying, is, look, in theory, there's other times of happiness in the year, right? There's Sukkot, and there's Ariel saying, yes, Simcha Yisera is on Sukkot. So why don't you say, I mean, maybe you'll say it's also, you know, that month is also Ema and Yira, so maybe you're not going to be Marvin B'Simcha and Rosh Hashanah, maybe that, but what about, you know, maybe Sivan for Shmatan Torah, Mishnuchna Sivan, right? It's like, how do you, it's not clear, how does this get chosen? Why is it, right? I mean, I guess that's really the only question, is like a Shavuos, right? Mishnuchna Sivan, Marvin B'Simcha.
The Ramban does say that the entire period.
So the question is, why doesn't it say Mishnuchna Tamas, Matim Simcha, right? It says Av, not Tamas.
Seems
that way. You could argue that. I mean, maybe that's a better answer, but it seems like Tisha B'Av is the really bad, really bad. The Onesh. That Onesh, when it's a tragedy and it's the end, that's, in a certain sense, it could be what David said is pretty good, actually, is that the Tamas, the Tamas days are more, there's a bright side of the Tamas tragedies, because there are wake-up calls. It's the Av tragedies which are a finality, which is deadening and, you know, frightening. And, you know, that's really, when we see, like, Hashem Ke'oyev, Nir Hashem Ke'oyev, it's like, that's what's really frightening and sad, and the mourning is at a higher peak when it's an Av. But maybe in Tamas, although it's sad, but it's Ma'oros Tetruv, one, it doesn't reflect the Amidas HaDin in the same capacity. In a certain sense, it reflects Rachamim, the fact that there was a step. So maybe that doesn't color us in the same way as we approach it. But it's, you know, that's an answer, but I don't know, maybe there's something better to say. But it's, for now, that works. One thing I want to add. You guys are all saying good. There's a certain intuitive idea that, of course, if you're saying is that you're celebrating or you're looking forward to Purim, which is the Geula of the days of Achashverosh, and if we're still out of Achashverosh, I mean, what's happier than Geula of Mitzrayim? I mean, that's the foundation of our whole Am. Right, in the sense that we were Avdei Hashem after that event. So, if you're happy about Avdei, you know, Geula from the other Geula, then the other Geula, which is Samach to it, then arguably, of course, you should be happy from that. But so, what would be the Sfar to say that we're happy by Adar, not by Nisan? Arguably, even if there was no Adar, arguably before Adar happened, maybe you'd say Mishnechas Nisan, Marav Masimcha. Arguably, I don't know. But then it does beg the other question, though. So what about Sivan? Right? If that's the case. You know, but, you know, you could say is if you're that happy by Adar, Kal V'Chomer, you should be that happy by Nisan.
Right.
But I would say like this. Is Rashi's bothered by something. Okay? He's bothered by, why is it Mishnechas Av Matim Masocha? So you'll say, okay, because it's a sad day. Okay? So it's a sad day. But does it define maybe like the month? Why does it become, yeah, why is it that now we have to be Matim Besemcha when we get to that month, right? So maybe it's like when, like Rashi the Rambam said, for example, it's a yom which is Muchan for Puranas. The fact that there are multiple events happening, it makes it more potent to us. Okay, it's a time where just look, one thing happened. Look, it happened to happen on Sunday. Look, whenever it happened on Sunday. But why does that shake us? Why does that impact us in the same way, in such a way? But maybe it's the repetition of events indicates that this is a time when the Hashgacha is against us, so to speak. When Hashem punishes us, you know, in terrible ways, this is a month where He often does it. And we see there's a pattern. And the pattern is what makes it like more meaningful to us today. Because it didn't just happen once. It happened again and again and again, five times. So that impacts us in a more real way. And arguably it should. Because if we are, you know, hopefully not, but if we are at a state where we're deserving of an onesh, it's seemingly more reasonable that He would punish us in Av than in other months, which we'll get to in a little bit with the next Gemara. But we see that this is a day which is Mukhan for Pranas. So given the pattern, it makes it impact us in a different way. If there was one event that happened on Tisha B'Av, maybe it wouldn't have hit us in the same way. But the Mishnah is making a point that there are five events which happened on Tisha B'Av. Right? Now maybe Rashi's bothered by, Purim happened. It happened to have happened on one day. So why does that like color the season, if you will? Why does that create a month, a time of happiness? As opposed to just, it's an isolated event that happened and we'll celebrate it on the day that it happened. So maybe he's holding, since this season is the time, the season of Geulos, both Geulos from Achashverosh and the Geulos Mitzrayim, so therefore, and there's a smichos between the two, so therefore there becomes a simcha that we're now approaching that time. So it's the time of Geula, and Mishnech Nas Adar, we're entering the time of Geula. Both the Geulas were at this time of the year, and therefore it brings, like, both of them are on our mind's eye, and thereby it's like we see a pattern in the Hashgacha again. Not necessarily, it's a little different, because an Av, it happened all on one day. Here it's all at the end, beginning of the year, whatever, within a month of each other. But it's still, we could, it's like when we see more than one event, it could be as Rashi is putting together, is that what makes it have a more profound impact on us is when it's more than one event. That indicates a pattern of the Hashgacha, and that is what causes us to now be Ma'arav B'Simcha. It's like both. So when we reach this time, there's two things. I mean, it's an acute awareness of the reality of the Hashgacha. When there's a pattern, it brings it to mind in a much more, you know, concrete way. It's not just to happen to be. You can't just, it doesn't just happen on, you know, happens to be that time. And also, it makes us, we should be prepped, so to speak, or at least we know that in general, God does these things in a way which is, you know, creates a pattern to help teach us ideas. So, but I don't necessarily mean that we're worried at this moment something bad is going to happen. It's more that it creates a time period when there is a pattern. And Rashi's looking to find the pattern in Adar, which is similar to the pattern which you have in Av, although it's not identical, but there is an idea of more than one time. I'm saying if God just does one thing at one time and there's nothing else related to it, then arguably maybe it wouldn't color the month, it wouldn't create a time period. Yeah. Answering though is, that's why I'm also answering with this, is why maybe Sivan, you don't say that. Because it's just one event, it's one happy day, okay? It's nice to have one happy day, but maybe within this idea is that it's when you have, the question is you're trying to create an awareness like of a, you know, an awareness of Hashgacha. And if it's just connecting up with one event, it doesn't necessarily create the awareness. But if you have a pattern, whether it be all on one day or you have the two which are samach l'zelazah, that brings to mind the Hashgachas Hashem of Geula. It's like a Zman of Geula. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying necessarily that it's a coincidence or whatever, but it creates a Zman of Geula. The fact that we have the two Geulas back to back within a month, which you see, you might think that's not close, but you see halachically it is close insofar as the reading of the Megillah. So it allows it to become a Zman of Geula. And then the question is, then you're approaching the Zman of Geula. And I'm saying is you're approaching the Zman of Velas. So it's like when you have multiple events, multiple actions of Hashem, it ends up coloring the Zman. And the Zman is what pervades just the day, but it ends up creating an impact on us for an extended period of time. Yeah, I mean, it can use a little work. You know, something I'm not fully
satisfied. What about
a little further? Okay, let's go a little further. So now this, we're still related. We're not, this next Gemara is very much connected to this. So let's see. So it says, Amar of Papa, Hilkach, therefore following the previous thing, Mishnah Chasad, all right. Hilkach, Bar Yisrael de Islay Dina, Nahde Nachri, a Jew who has a Din Torah with an Nachri, Lishtamit Minei Be'av, he should distance himself from it in Av, the Rea Mazle, because it's bad mazel. Belimtzi Navshe Va'adar, and he should find himself to do it. Va'adar, Debari Mazle, because it's healthy, it's a good mazel. The Takif Mazle is another Gersa, it's a strong mazel. Okay. Like Rashi, Nezel Va'ade, Be'erka'os Shelahem. It's in their courts. That's interesting. Why does Rashi have to say that? In their courts. So here's a good question. So he's like, this is talking about Hashem's Hashkachat HaKal Yisrael is an Adar and an Av. But now what? Now an individual? Does that mean an individual who has a court case? Is there assuming there's a special Hashkacha for individuals in an Av or an Adar? Is that true? I mean, you could say, yeah, it's the same thing, but I mean, that's a step.
Right.
Maybe a possible answer to that question is that the I don't know about this so much, but I think is that the courts, especially in our history, I mean, we live in America, and we just kind of think everything is, American courts are in a certain sense similar to Jewish courts. It's like, look, there's a system of rules and of justice, and, you know, everything's fair. But, I mean, throughout our history, Jews in Goyish courts, I think, is oftentimes a matter of the sentiment of the judges and of the Goyim towards the Jews, and a lot of lack of fairness towards the Jews. And if a Jew wins a court case, that could be a positive for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people, and it's indicative of a positive sentiment that the Goyim give a case to a Jew as opposed to a guy. And on the contrary, if the guy Jew loses, that could be indicative of animosity or prejudice against the Jews. So arguably, Jews and Goyim in court cases is very much a indication or result of the, although it shouldn't be, and we're not used to this, but is an indication of the attitude of Goyim towards Jews in the society. So, and it could be these things snowball also, you know, a series of good judgments, fair judgments towards Jews end up, you know, maybe building other ones. My point is that maybe it's not quite to an individual. The example of using a court case between a Jew and a guy in the Goyish courts maybe is not just saying if a person, you know, is going for a surgery, we should do it in an Adar and not in a Av. You know, the example is an example which does involve Klal Yisrael in some way or other. It doesn't say anywhere like an individual, at least not in this Gemara. I don't know, man. I know people nowadays have this attitude as they do things, you know. They, you know, won't go on surgeries or won't go on a trip or whatever. But the example, this example, does seem to be at least related to the Klal Yisrael. How the Jews are viewed by the Goyim, like even nowadays. I mean, how does the world view the Jews? Is that's a big deal? Sentiment of the Goyim towards the Jews is a big deal. It could affect us in terms of political events, in terms of anti-Semitism, in terms of tons of things. The perception of the world of the Jew has a great impact, especially in Gullus, for good or for bad, is a major factor for the lives of the Jews and for, you know, the political realities that we deal in. So having positive sentiment towards Jews is very positive, very big, and negative is bad. And now you'll say it's a court case, but I'm saying that all court cases mean the same thing as they always meant. I mean, halavai they should, but I think court cases of a Jew versus a guy, I think very often in our Gullus, of course the Jew is going to lose that case, you know, or hopefully he could win that case if he's giving it a fair shake. But that is indicative of Hashkacha, you know, of the sentiment of Klal Yisrael amongst the Goyim is certainly part of something which is the area of Hashkacha Hashem to Klal Yisrael that affects everyone, affects the Tzibor as all, affects the lives of Jews and all that, and that's saying something which is touching on the Hashgacha of Klal Yisrael at this time, maybe you shouldn't do it now, or you should do it now. But I don't know. I know people do say it nowadays, but I never looked into where's the earliest source to say that you should do, you personally should do your own whatever things. Not necessarily you versus guy. Should that take place in other, or, you know, in a major type, in something like a court? And it'll be interesting to look into what are the, you know, how's this brought down. Okay, but what's this thing of what does it mean here? Right? What does it mean that I should? The plainest interpretation is what does it mean, Rai Mazle? Right? What does that mean? Right? So I guess one interpretation which one might have would be it's a good luck or bad luck. That's what it sounds like. I don't know how you're going to translate Mazel. Something like luck, constellations, zodiac signs. Right? I mean, it sounds like something which is connected to the Torah that we believe in times. Like if you make that's one of Yisrael Avodah Zarah, saying this is a good time for this and a bad time for that. What's that?
Meonen.
To set times. So to say like there's a bad time or a good time doesn't seem to be a very Jewish idea. Why is it bad or good? I mean, isn't it Tali and Tzidkus or Rishas or Din? I mean, do we believe in just times which are bad or good? Isn't that... That was the thing of does it say that? I know it says by the water, but the Moshe died on Adar, but that's why the Mitzvah did something in Adar, or someone did, I forget who it was. But Haman picked Adar because he said that's when Moshe died, but he didn't know that's also when Moshe was born. And the point is that Goyim, Haman looks for a date, but it turns out for us, like the same date could be good or for bad, depends on how we relate to it. Right? And the same water could be a source of Chayit, or it could be water could be a source of great Bracha. Or Torah, I mean, a lot of things like that. Chazal, the same item, it's not the item which is good or bad. It's the way we relate to it. And to have a bad time is almost imbuing a magical, mystical quality to a time, as opposed to our bechira, and to our attaining a positive din. So to somehow say like, then that's the argument of Amonin, is to say this is a bad time to this or good time. It's not good time or bad time, but yet this is saying openly that this is a good time, this is a bad time. Right, Mukhan. Oh, okay. So Tosa says, I think which I think is similar to what you're implying is Pirush Mishum De Amar Lael Megalgalim Chova Liyom Hachayev. So I didn't look up the Gemara, but that sounds interesting. Amar Al Megalgalim Chova Liyom Hachayev. Oh, it's over here. So the Gemaras I skipped. So it was Shnia Minalan. So he says is that. It was Hashem did the second Chorban on the same day as the first Chorban because he's Megalgalim Chov Liyom HaChayev. He rolls the Chov to the Yom HaChayev. He wants to punish us. Yeah, so how do you interpret that? What's Tosa saying? It's Megalgalim Chov Liyom HaChayev. It's talking about on the second base of Mikdash. Was destroyed on also on Tisha B'Av. So it says... V'shnia min alon d'tanya magalgalim schos liyom zakai v'chov liyom chayev. So it sounds almost like saying that's how we know that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because Hashem on that day, because Hashem rolls the schos, picks it on a day which is already a bad day. It's a day which is already bad because of all the other previous things which happened to us, and that's why Hashem did it on that day. It almost sounds like. I think though, it's a good question exactly how it's. I didn't learn that Gemara, but I mean the principle though, as he's saying, is that it was on Tisha B'Av because Hashem is Megalgal Zechos the Yom Zak, Chayav the Yom Chayav. So since this was a day which is already a bad day, from already from the Meraglim and so on and so forth, so Hashem did it on this day. Okay, so it's. Yeah. Difference. What's the difference between? So we're saying is, look, Hashem is doing it on this day. So what's the difference between that and Ma'onin? How do you define the difference? Yeah. So Ma'onin, you're saying the day itself is imbued with the power. Somehow this day, the constellations are such that there's intrinsically this day has some sort of a power, a vibe of good or bad.
External to Hashem giving it that power.
Yes. Yes. External to. Yes. Yeah, right, but if you say, you're right, like if you say that it's the winter or it's the spring and it's a good time to plant your plants or whatever it is, that's just saying that's built into the way Hashem made the world, that there's the reality of the world is that there are the times which are good for times which are good, times which are bad. And if the reality is that Hashem punishes us in Av because of the fact that it helps us, like we were talking about, helps motivate us to tshuva and helps us acknowledge the fact that it is Hashgachas Hashem, and that's what we see as Muchan for Pranas, so then it's not the time is bad, it's that Hashem, it's a time at which we know Hashem designates to, often, not exclusively, but often to punish us. So that's, there's a reality to that. That has to impact us. The time is a time which is Mukhan for Pranas. And for a time, I guess it impacts us. We live in time. And therefore, in our psyche, and something happens at the same time, it makes a greater impact on us. And since the onesh of Hashem is to wake us up and to move us, so by punishing us in that time, it will be more effective insofar as what Hashem is trying to accomplish through an onesh. So therefore, it's not that time has the power, it's that that's a time when Hashem does it because of the objective of punishing us and the oras to tshuva is more likely to be realized at that time. Yeah, the Dreyfus trials were very much a movement towards anti-Semitism. Right. Sorry, Ian, we could look into what happened exactly, but you're right, I remember that. I don't remember the particulars, but that's... so I guess the question... Why don't we leave off with a few questions here, okay? So what exactly... So therefore what? So is it saying you shouldn't have a court case in Av? Well, I don't know, maybe we can answer now, but you shouldn't have a court case in Av, right?
Right.
Because you might lose? Is it saying is because you have a higher probability of losing? Is that the point? Is this advice basically saying is, listen, you want a likelihood of winning and not losing, so you shouldn't do it in Av because you have a higher likelihood of losing in Av? Is that the point? So do it in the next month? I guess the question is like this. Mavshach, if are we deserving of losing... So then, if we push it off from Av to Elul, but then what? Then it's our chances go up. I mean, if we're deserving to Onesh, then we're deserving to Onesh. Is it really going to help by moving it off a month or doing it earlier a month? Or is that that's my question? Does it mean if you're looking to be successful, then you're increasing your odds or decreasing your odds by doing it in Av or Elul, Av or Adar? Or maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know what I'm asking. Or if it means something else, what does it mean? Right? Is that the advice? And I guess you could ask a question: is that if you isn't this ultimately telling you zchus and you're doing your schar onesh? So if you're deserving an onesh, it's like a trick. It's almost like a shortcut, a trick. If you think God's going to punish you because you're deserving of an onesh, so if you just work it out to do it in a different month, then what? Then He's not going to punish you because it's not Av, and I guess God can't punish us in different months. I mean. Well, we deserve it, we're not deserving the onesh. Saying is that, look, at this time, this is a Christian Ezra trying to say, look, at this time we know that there's din. There's a reality of din and hashgacha, negative hashgacha. And therefore, that would impact us. It would impact the way you carry yourself, and you're going to make mistakes, you're not going to be confident, you're going to be, you're not, a large part of a person's success, let's say in a court case or in anything, is their confidence, and if you feel like the din is a metucha against you, then it's going to impact you, and it's going to oftentimes could be a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Maybe there's a different
state. Hashgacha is something which should impact the person, and I think that's part of the point. This mishenichlas of marav b'mesimcha, mishenichlas other marav b'mesimcha. Now, how happy are we? And maybe we're not mekayim that properly. Maybe we don't think about hashgacha. Hashgacha isn't so meaningful and real to us. But if we are in touch with the reality of hashgacha and the fact that this is a time which is positive hashgacha towards Klal Yisrael, or negative, then that should impact the person. And there should be a sadness. We shouldn't be able to be as happy. And now, which we know this is a time which is Muchan L'Pranas. So that, arguably, I think, first of all, I think it's so what they're suggesting, again, there's different ways to go here. They're saying is that state of mind is one which is likely to affect the person. And acting in a way, if you feel that the hashgacha is against you, then you're not going to be able to go in there with the same type of confidence as if you feel hashgacha is with you. And that's just on a practical measure, to go in confidently. I mean, that's like a lahavdil. I mean, there's someone told me that, a sports psychologist. Someone was telling me he's very into sports psychology. And he knows a lot about the field. And he said the big issue they always have is like you... confidence. You see the ball going in the basket before you shoot it. That's like a big technique, is to somehow get, feel, if you know it's going to get in, then you could, your mind doesn't play these tricks on you and it just throws you off. So the person's psychological angle, their confidence or lack thereof, fear of the din or confidence about hashgacha, is something which could greatly impact a person.
And is this explaining the Tosas Pshat Magagal and Chovalim HaChayev, or is it saying different Pshat?
No, Tosas is dealing with the problem. I think Tosas is dealing with the problem of the moaning. What he's saying is it doesn't mean it's a bad time. It means Hashem punishes us on the Yom HaChayev. So it means it's opposed to the time, but he's not dealing with what's the Ramah's like. This is, again, I have a few different ideas here, but I'm just saying this is an attempted explanation of why should I avoid a court case. What exactly do I... You're trying to explain it in a naturalistic type of a way, in a sense. Not just think that necessarily I'm more likely to succeed or not based upon Hashem punishing me or getting involved, but even just my awareness of the reality of Hashgach. I don't know if he's going to intervene with me in this case or not, but I do know this is a time where Hashem is Megadol and Schlossim both ways, and thereby it impacts me, and that will naturally cause me psychologically to be different. Since you're in a state of simcha or a state of lesser simcha, there it's better or lesser time. The other pshat, of course, is I think this is certainly a truth to it. I don't know if they're mutually exclusive. Is look, there is a reality of din. It is a time of gadol nisrosiyam lechayev, and therefore, just on a practical level, I guess you have to deal with the question about the din. Let's push this till tomorrow, okay? But let's just read the Ritva quickly. Okay, let's read the Ritva and let's see if we think more about this. Okay, so the Ritva. He says like this. So the Rama is like, "Afal pisha ein mazel Yisrael." So that's Chazal say there's no mazel for Klal Yisrael. The other nations are affected by mazel, but we're not. There's ein mazel Yisrael. So how are you saying Ra mazel? This month is bad mazel, or this month is good mazel? That's good for the nations, but that's not for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael doesn't have mazel. We just have Hashem. Hani mili v'shar yamim. That's only on the other months. But on these months, yesh mazel. There is mazel. Shekein nigzar leinu min hashemayim. Because that's what Hashem is, what goes around us. Okay. So hold on. Let's analyze that answer, but let's just read the other one. Ve'ef sha'od mazel lav dafka. Alternatively, you can say mazel doesn't really mean mazel. Allah gezerah kari mazel b'shemayim. People call it. It really means a gezerah. Which is like Tosos. It really doesn't mean mazel. It means hashgacha. And people call it the same thing. Goyim call it mazel. We call it hashgacha. Whatever. But it's just using the vernacular as mazel. But it doesn't really mean that. You know, like people say good luck. Does that mean if you say good luck, it means you believe in luck as this force of luck or whatever? That you mean hashgacha, Hashem should be with you.
Yeah, there
would
actually be some sort of a constellation.
Right. So it sounds like his first pshat. So that's the second pshat. The second pshat is the same as Tosas, arguably. But the first pshat he's saying is, we don't have mazel. He's saying, no, we don't have mazel in other months, but in this month, in these 2 months, we do have mazel. Shekein nigzar leinu min hashamayim. But it sounds like that there is mazel, but it's not because the power of the mazel, but or because Hashem goes there on us.
Well, normally say Yisrael is exempt from the power.
Let's think about that. I mean, it's strange. It's a little strange, but maybe we could elucidate what exactly he's getting at. Right? What's the difference, I guess, between these two pshatim? Right?
Right. So.
Yeah. Let's see if we can put it all together. And then the next thing I want to do after this, which, again, I don't think this can take us the whole time tomorrow, is the Gemara. What's the Gemara? Tomorrow the Gemara on Chav Tes and Beis. We'll skip a little bit, but jump to the washing, the Isser of washing. Lo shana l'chabis v'lo bo shav l'chabis l'niach mutar. So there's going to be some Rishonim on that. I'll send you exactly. There's a tour. I'll send that on my Makamos on the WhatsApp. But there's a few different Rishonim we'll do on that. It's basically about the question of washing. This is a machlokas, whether the washing is Isser only for Rav Nachman or Sheshas. Basically, is the Isser only to wash it and wear it, or even to wash it and put it away for later? So that'll be after we finish this, we'll get into that.